Hi, I'm Rick Anthony, and welcome to the Someone You Should Know podcast, the podcast that focuses on musicians, authors, and interesting people. We like to say we're making a difference one artist at a time. So sit back, have a cold one, and get ready to meet someone you should know. On the podcast today, a three-piece grunge punk band that actually features a friend of the family who I've known for a very long time. He used to play in my daughter's band back in the late 90s. He and his bandmates have been rocking the St. Louis music scene since 2019. They've got some brand new music to share. Will you please welcome Michael Stein, Justin D, and Freeze Smith. They are Nowhere But Down. Guys, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
so glad to have you guys together. Let's first talk about your influences. Each of you talk about how you really and truly started to fall in love with music. Was it a specific band, a specific style of music, a specific time frame? Freeze, why don't you start off?
Oh, man, why? Getting bullied. Yeah, getting bullied. I came from a very, very small town just outside of St. Louis. Late 80s, mid, beginning 90s wasn't exactly a politically correct scene. So I found myself kind of like on an island, you know, just getting picked on a lot. Mm-hmm. I looked at school band as just, you know, something to do, something to just break up the monotony of the day. And it paid off. I loved music. I loved music before that, but getting and playing it with a group of people, it was, you know, it's changed it.
Awesome. Very good. And you've been doing drums ever since?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm self-taught, been playing since I was about 8 or so.
Jason, how about you, bud?
I'd have to say, first time I ever heard a Violent Femmes song, I guess I was about 5 years old. My uncle had become a fan of theirs on their first album back in 82. And he gave me a copy of the cassette tape. And I knew right then and there, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And pretty much stuck with that. Influences, I'd have to say, like Nirvana influenced me, bands like The Descendants, Minor Threat, even like Pennywise, Dropkick Murphys, which I just saw a concert the night before last.
Love that the Dropkicks. Love the
Dropkicks. They were so good live, too.
Love them.
Underground music, even bands like The Urge from St. Louis, Fragile Porcelain Mice, bands like that around the local scene influenced me like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, you knew Fragile Porcelain Mice?
Oh, yeah, still do.
Oh, crap, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
Oh, well, I've got a story to tell you.
Well, we'll include that too. How about you, Michael?
Well, my first kind of influence, I'd say, is back in like 84 with Twisted Sister. I remember seeing that video on MTV, and I decided I wanted to be a rock star. Uh-huh. So at the age of 5, I started asking for a guitar, and I didn't get one until I was 15. But But yeah, I mean, like he said, I've got quite a wide array of influences for this band, mainly like Nirvana, the Melvins, Tool, Helmet. But then I've also, you know, personal stuff like I'm a huge Skinny Puppy fan. I love Ministry, Nine Inch Nails. You know, I mean,
Black Sabbath.
Tony Iommi's my favorite guitar player of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, Pink Floyd. I mean, I've got a really wide array of stuff I like.
Awesome. Very good. Now, I have to ask you, how did the band get the name Nowhere But Down? Where'd that come from?
That's a funny story. I've worked construction jobs off and on because, let's face it, you can't pay the bills with rock and roll all the time because there's a term starving musician and starving artist. These are true facts. So I did construction for a long time, and I used to work with this one guy. He had to been probably in his 60s back when I was in my 20s. He said, there ain't nowhere to go, but over here we were doing roofs. I kept thinking, oh, there's down. You could definitely fall down. I came up with the name Nowhere But Down from that, you know, because there's nowhere to go but down from a roof. Let me promise you that, you know, you can't climb the sky.
Uh-huh.
So to answer your question, gravity.
Gravity is definitely the answer to that one.
I was going to say, that's a pretty cool concept. I like that. Nowhere But Down is the name of the band. And, you guys formed in 2019. How did this ensemble come to be to the final three of you? Was it something like an American Idol contest where you're voting people in and out, or what was going on? Because I know Michael, you and Justin started it.
Yeah, me and Mike started this off, and then the COVID thing happened, so I kind of put a hiatus on it. And we originally wanted to be an industrial band, but we were having a hard time finding people to play with us and stuff. And then we decided we were going to do more of a grunge thing, and we started heading more towards grunge. And We've been through. He makes drummer number. Is he
He's number four.
He's number four if you want to be technical. But we had two or three drummers that came in more than once, and we just couldn't find somebody that was stable enough to play. Drummers have a thing. You know, they call a drummer without a girlfriend, right? Homeless.
Homeless. Yeah. Hey, well, then we met this guy. Wow. So, like, there was a point where we were auditioning drummers back in, what was it, like September or October or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, back in like September.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we auditioned 10 different drummers in like 3 weeks, and they either couldn't play the material or they weren't dedicated enough to play
up.
With us.
To
like
show
they show
up,
up for like three songs and take off or whatever, you know, and
they
like
they would hear for a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, and I feel bad because the first time they called me, I had other obligations. I was jet setting, doing my superstar career.
Oh, absolutely.
Elsewhere. Yeah, I totally made that up. I was doing nothing. the first time, and you know what? I think that everything happens at a specific time for a specific reason. It just so happened that after they got done flying through drummers the way most people fly through underwear.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. They gave me a call. It was, they gave me plenty of time to learn the material. It was like four days.
Well,
4 days.
Yeah. 4 hour set. That's one of our tales from the road. We'll have to tell you.
Yeah. That was interesting. But
he pulled it off.
Yeah, they called me, and my girlfriend said, "You better go." And if anybody's had a girlfriend, you know, you just that's the time when you just say, "You know what? I can't have this fight. You got to pick your battle."
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So I went, and I'm glad I did. I'm awesome. Damn glad I did.
Good. Well, Freeze, just for the record, as far as you know, he gave you that little slam of pop in homeless type thing. What happens when a bass player shows up at your door? You pay him $20 for the pizza and tell him to go home.
Dude. I thought you could call a bass player with a girlfriend lucky, you know? I happen to be single right now, thank God.
Oh, gosh. Okay, it's music time. Let's talk about the music here. The first song we're going to feature is Plastic Heart. What's the backstory on Plastic Heart?
I wrote this song. It's been about 4 years ago. I was dating this girl, and she was the type that she loved me. She didn't love me. She used me like a yo-yo, basically. And after I got to her place and was supposed to be staying the night with her, she decided to have a meltdown. And so I was sitting in her living room. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And usually I'd sit around for an hour or so, and she'd text me. She'd be like, "Will you come lay with me?" And I was just sitting around playing acoustic guitar. And I just started singing some lyrics. And I went through the whole song, and it was like, I woke her roommate up. I was like, "Where's some paper? Where's some paper? I got to write this down right now." And I wrote it down, and I've never changed a word to it or anything. It was just something I wrote it literally on the fly. And it was probably one of the best songs I've ever written.
I have to admit, Jason, this is a really good song. I really liked it.
It doesn't go awake the girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, don't go get paper.
Exactly. Just write down the information. I love how
she gets no royalties for this.
It's amazing where it comes from. Absolutely. That's awesome. Awesome. Okay.
That's
let's
how the best
song's
going to be.
Okay. Let's play that song. Plastic Heart right now from Michael, Freeze, and Jason. They're nowhere but down on the Someone You Should Know podcast.
to play it straight. Took down to my last, one last mistake. And if you're still mad, step that I can't take, like a knife into my back. But I guess I'm to blame. She says I'll stay. You tell me just one thing, and you drive me out of my mind. Happens every time. She says I'll stay. You tell me just one thing, and you drive me out of my mind. Happens every time. Slap, so down to my last, like the knife that's in my back. You're the knife that's in my back. She says I'll stay. You tell me just one thing, and you drive me out of my mind. Happens every time. She says I'll stay. You tell me just one thing, and you drive me out of my mind. Happens every time.
Plastic Heart from Nowhere But Down. There are guests this time on the Someone You Should Know podcast. More great music from Michael, Jason, and Freeze in a bit, but I want to say thanks so much for tuning in to the Someone You Should Know podcast. We're on the World Wide Web at SomeoneYouShouldKnowPodcast.com. You're going to find our archive of more than 160 episodes and a whole lot more. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing, okay? Now, according to Buzzsprout, the service that shares us to all the different streaming platforms, we are so incredibly blessed. We're heard in over 2,100 cities in 85 countries around the world. And I want to salute a couple of new cities on our list: Arroyo Grande, California, Tillotsburg, Ontario, Canada, Wentzville, Missouri, and Toliata, Russia. Wow. Thanks for tuning in to the Someone You Should Know podcast. Heard forever. Screw forever. Quality streaming audio is available yet. Thanks for listening so much. You guys were talking about the fact that you guys formed and then COVID hits.
Yeah.
Did you guys do Zoom?
No, we pretty much stayed in the house and locked ourselves away from the world. Yeah, no, that was pretty much the end of that.
Kind of shut it down for a little bit, yeah.
They were going to name their first album Quarantine.
Yeah. We talked about it.
Limited release.
You had to wear a mask and have gloves on to get it.
Absolutely. And you had to make sure that you tested negative before you played the album, right?
Yeah.
First single is My Nostril Hurts.
Not so deep, okay? What, are you going for brain?
Second one was Get This 300-Pound Woman Off My Chest.
Ooh, is it wrong that I want to do that as a remix?
The third song was I Don't Get Tiger King. or someone please share their Netflix password.
Oh, man.
I was like, I think it might be pneumonia.
It's only pneumonia. Let's talk about the writing now. Justin, you said that you wrote the last song there. How does the writing process go for the band? Do you guys have equal say in it, or do you do most of the writing, or what?
Me and Mike do most of the writing. He does all the percussion writing. As far as the writing goes, usually one of us will show up with a guitar riff or a bass riff or something and be like, hey, check this out. And the other guys will be like, what if we did this after that? What if we did this after that? And next thing you know, we've got a song. It goes pretty smooth almost every time we write something.
I usually let them work it out amongst themselves because, you know, guitar players, they're kind of divas like that. But, you know.
Did he say that out loud?
Oh, with my mouth, I did. I let them work that out because once they – I figure they hear a beat in their head as they're going and playing it. And then my job, I guess, is to figure out what that is. And luckily, they have a style and kind of presence of being able to clue me in as to what it is that they're wanting. I can actually only count two times ever that one of them has stopped and said, no, this is specifically what I want. Mm-hmm. Right here.
There's only like two songs that were really serious about that on.
So. You know, so I took the first song and I said, okay, that's, and I gave it to him, the way I thought that he wanted it. And he said, that's exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. The second time I waited and when he turned his guitar up a little louder, I did none of that. And that's how we ended up with Plastic Heart.
Yeah, it definitely picked up the beat, didn't it?
Where was Plastic Heart recorded at, guys?
Encapsulated Studios, and that's in Webster Groves. Bellevue. And let me tell you, Gabe Usury is the best recording engineer I've ever worked with. That guy is so good at what he does.
Oh, man.
You could go in there, and it could sound like literally two cats killing each other in a trash can, and he's going to make it sound like a hit.
He gets
a big thumbs up from us, man. That guy's amazing. We love you, Gabe.
Awesome.
Yeah, seriously.
A little love to the studio where they're in Webster Groves. Real good. Now, we talked a little bit about St. Louis itself. I lived in St. Louis for a good portion of my life, 22 years, as a matter of fact. And I remember it was a jazz town, a blues town, soul, hip hop. I remember in early 2000s, it was a good alternative scene. How's the current grunge pop scene, and where do you guys play at?
Red Flag quite a bit, Heavy Anchor, Sinkhole. The Record Space is a good place to play.
Still trying to get into the old Rock House.
They got a lock on that door, man.
I'll tell you what.
You got to sacrifice a nun and kill three kittens to get into that place or something. I don't know. We're trying to not be calico kittens.
Well, after they hear this podcast, I think you guys are a lock. Okay,
that'd be awesome.
Okay, good. So, is there a lot of bands and part of the grunge punk scene still?
There's quite a few actually these days. Yeah,
I'd say more punk than grunge. But I see a lot of, just
in the limited time that I've been in the scene, I see a lot of cross pollination between bands. You hear about a guitar player in one band 1 week, and a week and a half later, he'll be in two other bands over here doing this thing, and you just see like I've met one band. I met them literally back in October. They've changed the lineup like twice.
Yeah,
like. They're not the same people. I walked in, didn't recognize them.
Good bands around St. Louis right now, I'd have to say, is like Modern Angst.
Merrimott.
A Living Hell is good. Merrimott's really good. Who Goes There's a good band. Rum Luck is a good band. Who else? Oh, Lights Over Arcadia, which are some good friends of ours.
Yes.
They're very talented.
Shouts out to Joel.
Yeah, our buddy Chop ending along with us.
Ending Orion is another good metal band. They're really good.
Can I make a recommendation, guys?
Absolutely. Oh.
Sister. That's Sean.
Sister's a great band. And we still have yet to do a show with them, and I don't know why, but we need to get out there and do a show with them.
That would be cool. They're great. Really cool. I mentioned that you were going to be on the show, and Shauna told me to tell you hello.
Hi, Shauna. I know she's got to watch this.
Yeah, she's got to watch this.
She'll be grounded if she doesn't, I know.
Now, going way back in the days, Jason and Shauna were in a band called Die for Envy that played in our garage. They were an original garage band, and I really liked the music. It was one of the very few times that, you know, because she'd been in a lot of derivations of bands through the years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like that one I liked, and then the band she's in now, Scissor. I really love the sound that they're kicking out of St. Louis. They're due to kick out something new. Let's talk about the immediacy. You guys were trying to get this full length album out. Can you tell us about that?
We're still working on it. We've got about 3 songs recorded now. We're hoping to get like 10 or 12 songs on the album total, but we're hoping to have it out by the end of the summer. We're really working hard on it.
We've got a lot of material. We're kind of combing through and trying to figure out what we want to put in on the album yet too. We got about
2.5 hours of original material.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
So we're trying to. It's hard because I like all the songs. So, you know, I mean,
it's
makes
very
it
hard
difficult.
To pick a song.
I like it. I'll be honest. I just confessed this to them a couple of days ago. I didn't learn the titles to most of the songs for like the longest time. Look, they'd be like, which song you want to play, Freeze? I'm like the one that goes. Because that speaks to it. Cause you know, I hear it. I like it. I want to play it. And I think the immediacy with wanting to get the album, at least from my standpoint, is we want to make our mark and get that done. There's so many bands that have so much talent out there. And it's not even a matter of competition, because those aren't the bands I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that literally will squander what they have.
Yeah.
You know, and
holler some petty stuff.
Right. And
Petty Grievances. That's another good St. Louis band, which is the lead singer of Fragile Porcelain Mice, new punk rock band.
I didn't rock see band. That sentence going that way.
It you sounds said like Petty I'm going to need to do some investigating here to get them on the podcast.
I'm telling you what, they're really good. They really are. Petty Grievances is awesome. It's better than Fragile, even, I think so. And
ooh, that's, I love Fragile. That's a tall call to make, man.
Scott Randall's amazing. What can I say?
Freeze, quick question for you. As a drummer, now Mike was talking about some of his favorite guitarists and such. What about you? Ooh. Who influenced your drumming style?
Woo. Well, I'm going to tell you what. That is a wide, wide influence. First, I'm going to just name off my YouTube drummers, the guys that do the dudes that go out and just do covers of things and whatnot, and instruct people. Jared Falk, El Estepario Siberiano. I think I said that right. He's real popular right now. Matt McGuire, Dylan Taylor. And then, of course, the bands.
Danny Carey?
You have Danny Carey? Yes, of course, Danny Carey. I'm naming the guys that actually got me off my butt to do it. The guys that when I'm watching them, I watch Danny Carey and I put my sticks down and I'm like, okay, anybody need me, I'll be in the chess hall.
How come I ever mentioned Stuart Copeland of the Police? The guy's a phenomenal percussionist. This is not a drummer, by the way. He's a percussionist.
He's so damn smart, too. That's the other thing about Stuart.
Yeah, you almost can't listen to the guy talk because you're like, I feel dumber now.
Sugarfoot. Sugarfoot, the guy that drummed for Michael Jackson, believe it or not. He was an amazing
drummer.
Yeah. And really, I'll be honest, there are a million more that I could name, but I don't know the names. But to hear them. And ultimately, for me, that's where it is. The art and what they're putting out.
We made him listen to a bunch of Nirvana stuff and told him, just think David Grohl. Just think David Grohl. Tied him to a chair and we poked his eyelids open like in Clockwork Orange with toothpicks and told him, you're going to watch these videos. You're going to watch these videos. And he's like, I can't take any more. We're like, don't watch the video.
The thing is, I love Dave Grohl so much. Leslie and I are huge Grohl fans. Huge fans.
He's amazing.
And Nirvana and such. And his book is sensational. His mother's book was sensational. And it just seems everything he does, he touches, turns to gold. We saw him at Lollapalooza. Talk about a set, man. Jeez.
He's the grunge godfather.
Yeah,
Did you know that the first Foo Fighters album, Dave Grohl wrote and recorded all
everything.
That.
Yeah, it's just David Grohl.
Absolutely. The guy's incredible. He's on a totally different level. And that's absolutely. I have a note here that I had done a major faux pas here. Since you guys are from the St. Louis area, one traditional question we always ask people from St. Louis is, what high school did you go to? Start with Freed.
Oh, my Lord. I went to no high schools in St. Louis. I was out of Granite City, Illinois.
Oh, you're Granite City? Okay.
Yes. Don't tell anybody.
That's okay, Jason.
I went to Edwardsville High School.
Tiger, right? Yeah, you were Tiger, right? Mike, how about
unfortunately,
you?
Yeah.
I went to Highland High School.
Everyone's East Side.
You guys are all East Side.
Yeah. And that's how powerful the St. Louis market is.
Rock on Metro East. Yeah, Shauna was a K-Hawk. So was my son. K-Hawks, yeah. Absolutely. So props to the East Side there. Looking ahead, what you guys got planned for summer 2024?
Lots of shows.
Yeah.
We're talking with several record labels right now, actually, about signing.
Awesome. So, great.
And most of them happen to be out of the UK, funny enough. I don't know why. Could be the punk influence in our music.
It could be.
Sounds like a road trip, guys.
We want to do some traveling this summer and play some places out of the area,
I've already volunteered.
Places we haven't done yet,
Get with Sister and come play up here in Northwest Indiana.
Okay. We're all about it. We're there. We'll come up there.
We're there. Here's the deal, though. I'm going to drive.
It's only about 5 hours. Come on up.
I'm going to drive.
So what we're going to
do in three.
Let's talk about your links and how to find you. If you guys are going to be touring and putting out new music and everything, I want everyone to know about it. So what are some good social links? How can we reach out to you?
We're on all those major platforms. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer. What's some of the other ones that are out there?
Bandcamp.
We got a Bandcamp page. We have an Instagram. We have a Facebook. We have a Reverb Nation. What else do we have, guys?
I was trying to talk him into an OnlyFans, but he ain't having it.
No, we're not doing OnlyFans. I'm not wearing a thong. I already told you that.
Not again. No.
Never again. Never again.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. Now,
but we're on all the major platforms and stuff. We're on Spotify, like I said, SoundCloud. Pretty much, if you look for us out there on the internet, you're going to find us.
Awesome.
We're
what I'll do is I'll take those links and I'll go and put them down in the show notes. So anyone who is tuning in right now and in their car and afraid they're going to crash, go simply just wait till we get to your destination. Look down in the show notes, and by all means, I want you to go ahead and friend and like everything that these guys are doing right now, because they're a great bunch of musicians. They're good friends of mine too, okay? So help them out. The next feature is my favorite feature. It's called Tales from the Road. These are those infamous road stories where things didn't go quite as planned. You know, just think of your Spinal Tap moment. I'm going to let each of you do your own little Tales from the Road. Let's start with Mike. How about you? What would you say would be your Tales from the Road? It doesn't have to even be with this band.
Okay.
Got his hair stuck in his guitar.
I mean, I think one of the I opened for Afro Man one time, but that really didn't turn out bad. It was pretty good.
Because he got a
Jason, how about you? I know we were talking about the fact that when they were playing, they were doing a practice in our garage, and there was a horrible thunderstorm, and water started coming up underneath the door and everything like that. These guys
out of the walls, and we squeegeed water for hours just trying to save equipment. I'll never forget that.
Yeah,
Jake's bouncing on his toes, but she's passed away now. Rest in peace, Jacob Ellis. Let's see. My favorite Tales from the Road, I'll just say from recently, was before we got this wonderful percussionist with us, we had a gentleman by the name of Dustin Hart playing drums for us. And Dustin decided to go to jail about 4 days before a show, which we were scheduled to play an hour at.
Oh, but we were also scheduled to play the next 2 weeks, too.
Yeah, we had two shows the following weekends. And as it goes, we call this man up and we're like, hey, man, you want to come try out for our band again? He's like, well, yeah, sure. And he shows up and he did pretty good. And we're like, okay, well, you know, we got a little bit of material for you to learn. You got to learn an hour's worth of material. He said, well, how long do I have to learn it? And a couple, you know, 2, 3 weeks, a month, what? We're like, no, 4 days. And I'll tell you what, we went and played a venue here in St. Louis called Sky Music Lounge. It's in Baldwin, but it could have went better if the sound man would have been busy on his phone. Oh. But we kept trying to tell him. Now, first of all, he had just learned an hour's worth of material in 4 days. Thumbs up for this guy, okay? But there was nothing coming out of his monitor.
Oh,
and he couldn't hear any of the music going on. And we kept telling the sound man that. And he'd look at us and shrug his shoulders and go back to typing on his phone.
The sound man.
And so I turned our amp sideways, pointed right at the drummer, and gave the sound man the finger. And we continued on to play. And it was quite an interesting evening. At the end of the evening, sound man's like, well, what do you want me to do? I don't know, your job, baby.
Just spitballing. Like the first half of the set was pretty muddy.
Yeah,
once he turned his amp over toward him, it was perfect.
Yeah,
that had worked out.
Oh yeah. We finished strong. You started bad, but finished strong.
Texting my girlfriend for crying out loud. She's having a crisis.
Man, she better have been pretty. She better have been real pretty.
I think what the problem was is there wasn't much of an audience. So this guy didn't feel like he had to do his job because he wasn't getting paid as much.
It was on a Sunday. On a Sunday at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You know what? I think the day of the week and all that notwithstanding, I think that has some effect for crowds or whatnot. But
everybody's got to work Monday. Nobody wants to go out and see a show on a Sunday night.
Anybody who's ever had a crap job wants to go out and see a show on Sunday night and just not go to work Monday morning. That's how that works.
I think those people showed up. There was like six of them.
I always wonder about like when you go to a football game and the things, you know, like Sunday night football or something like that, this thing ends up at like midnight and you got to do a job in the next morning. It's like, oh boy, that's going to be a fun individual at work.
Yeah. I've been that guy and I've worked with those guys and it's never good.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Guys, any last thoughts that we should know about you guys that we haven't mentioned already? What do you think?
Watch for us be playing anywhere. Show up to our shows. We have all kinds of merchandise to buy at our shows. You can find us on all the social media links. We're a fun band to be around.
How about you, Mike? What do you think?
Well,
he's the quiet member of the band.
He's the quiet guy out of the band, yeah.
Until he picks up a guitar.
Yeah. Yes. You think he'd owe you money the way he beats on that thing?
Right. Like, he puts a stack next to me and I got earwax flying out of the other side of my head.
Freeze, what about you? Any thoughts?
I'm incredibly grateful that these two crazy bastards found me.
Awesome.
We love
you. I have no idea. I would like to consider myself a Zen member of the band. only because nobody doesn't seem like anybody's really vying for that position.
We're diversified.
So, right.
They have to come see our show because he wants his reparations.
Yeah, I've been begging for it. I've been begging for it, man. I'm not greedy. 40 acres and a mule. Just give me like two big backyards and a well-trained pit bull or something. I'm good.
We're definitely in with the whole affirmative action thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. We are now 33 1/3%.
Bravo.
I did the
Bravo.
Math.
Now we love this guy. We're a tight-knit unit. We really like to work together, and hopefully there's great things to come in the future from us.
Awesome. I hope the best for you guys. I really do, and I hope this the podcast here helps you out, too. The last song we're going to feature is The Reaping. What's the backstory on The Reaping?
Wow. This song, okay, it's been quite a few years ago now, but I'd seen this thing where this guy basically over in, I want to say Norway, walked up on this island where all these kids had just got out of high school and were at this camp. He was walking around dressed like a police officer, telling them, don't run, I'm the police, and then he would start shooting them. He killed almost an entire class of kids. This is right after the bombings in Norway and everything, which he claimed credit for, too. And I watched this guy's trial. And he's up there on the stand. He's whining about it. And nobody loves him. Everybody's been mean to him. And I'm thinking the whole time, would somebody just shoot this guy in the head already? Yeah. He killed all these little kids that were just starting life. And so I sat down and I wrote the song The Reaping about that particularly. But then I started looking around. It's like in the United States alone last year, there was over 250 school shootings. And it's like, it's out of control. And nobody's really talking about it or doing anything about it. So I wrote this song basically as a response to all of that, as an anti-school violence song. I mean, this is ridiculous. These kids are showing up with automatic weapons. Yeah. I mean, this is something gangbangers can't get. These kids are just showing up with them and opening fire on their classmates. I mean, nothing's that serious that you should have to, you know, kill your friends and whatnot. Yeah. I don't understand it. So I wrote the song The Reaping about that, and basically as a response to all of that. Right. You know, I mean, violence, I'm anti-domestic violence. We're anti any kind of violence, honestly. You know, I mean, there's always a better way.
Awesome.
And The Reaping is basically a response to all these violent acts that are happening in our world in general these days. It's out of control. People really need to learn how to love a little bit more and hate a little bit less.
Absolutely. Good thought there. The Reaping is what we're going to close the show with. Guys, I really and truly appreciated having you on your mic. Great talking with you. Freeze, great to know you. And Jason, like I say, you've been part of the family forever. So
I love you, Rick.
Much love to you all. I hope you guys have a wonderful 2024. And I hope you enjoyed being guests on the Someone You Should Know podcast.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I plan on crashing it back in at some point. Like,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us, Rick. So empty. Could it be that I'm gone mad?
Hi, this is Rick Anthony, thanking you again for listening to this episode of Someone You Should Know. Now, if you're an aspiring musician or an established musician that's looking for a little exposure, I invite you to drop us a line at someoneyoushouldknowpodcast@gmail.com. That's someoneyoushouldknowpodcast@gmail.com. Also, I invite you to tell a friend about the Someone You Should Know podcast. I thank you for tuning in this time, and I invite you to check us out next time on the Someone You Should Know podcast, because you never know who's going to show up. Until next time, remember, God loves you, and so do I.